Now the description that follows gives you the right relationship between Purusha and Prakriti without contradiction. That in Sankhya philosophy was a contradiction. Now since Purusha and Prakriti are one but interrelated, now this proposition will stand much more rational. Karya karana kartritve hetuhu prakritihi uchyate. All the movements in which cause and effect are produced is called prakriti. Purushaha sukha dukkha nam bhoktritve hetuhu uchyate. Purusha is that which experiences the happiness and misery, and therefore he is called the enjoyer. So actually Purusha is the enjoyer. The sukha dukkha arises only at a later stage when the para-prakriti becomes a para-prakriti. Now, Purushaha prakritisthaha. Purusha stands in prakriti. Purusha is existent. Prakriti is conscious force. So in this conscious force, it is in that conscious force that Purusha stands. He is stable even in movement. He does not become shaken in movement. He remains the same in all movement. Purushaha prakritistha bhunkte. He enjoys prakritijan gunan. All the movements, all the properties and qualities which are born from prakriti are enjoyed by Purusha. Now comes the question, how does then that Purusha get bound to prakriti? The answer that Arjuna gets from Sri Krishna is, karanam guna sangaha asya sat asat yoni janmasu. What is the karana? What is the reason? Guna sanyoga. It is by attachment, by identification with the gunas. Now, on this question, the Bhagavad Gita, not being a philosophical work, does not dilate. How does Purusha, which is fully conscious, how does he fall into attachment with the gunas? This only short answer is Sangha. It is by attachment. But how does it come to be attached? Why should it get attached? These are philosophical questions which Bhagavad Gita, not being a philosophical work, does not enter into. When I studied the Bhagavad Gita for the first time, I got dissatisfied with the Bhagavad Gita because of this sentence, that it does not explain guna sangaha. How does Purusha get attached to prakriti? By what? By what process? And I read the Gita again and again to find an answer to this question. I never got it, because Bhagavad Gita is not a philosophical work. It's a work of yoga. It is stated as an answer to a question, and many things are assumed in the Bhagavad Gita. If it was a philosophical work, then all these questions have to be expounded fully.
And so the multiple Purusha
and
the
Purushottama? That's right. Purushottama is multiple. So here only one word is given. Guna sangaha asya karanam sat asat yoni janmasu. That is the reason why so many births are taken by Purusha, because of the attachment to the gunas. Now comes the most important statement, which brings out the speciality of Bhagavad Gita's philosophy, as distinguished from Sankhya. Upadrashta anumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwara paramatma eti cha api uktaha dehesmin purushah paraha. This purusha which gets entangled with prakriti beyond that there is purushah paraha. Beyond that there is a parapurusha. And the nature of parapurusha is upadrashta. He oversees. Anumanta. He gives a sanction. He is bharta. He is the lord. He is bhokta. He is the enjoyer. He is maheshwaraha. He is the Supreme Lord. Paramatma, he is the highest soul. Iti uktaha dehe asmin. He is also in the body. So now you have a concept of Purusha which gets attached to Prakriti. But here there is Purushaha paraha. There is also Parapurusha. This idea is not in the Sankhya philosophy. Parapurusha. There is no Parapurusha in the Sankhya. It is in the Gita that we have got this Parapurusha. Yaha evam vetti purusham prakritam cha gunaihi sa sarvatha vartamano pi nasaha bhuyo abhijayate. One who knows Purusha in this fashion, that is to say, Parapurusha and the Purusha that gets bound. There are two states of Purusha. Purusha which is Parameshwara, Paramatma, the same Purusha is also one which gets attached. Now this also a mystery. How the one Purusha which is above, who is the Bharta, who is Maheshwara, how is that same Purusha becomes attached to Prakriti? This is the question which is answered only in the 15th chapter, when Sri Krishna says that Purusha is threefold. Purushottama, the same Purusha, is Purushottama, is Akshara Purusha, and is Kshara Purusha. It is Kshara Purusha which gets attached to Prakriti. Yeah, Akshara Purusha, the same Purusha, has got three states as it were. Purushottama, the same Purusha, he is complex in nature. He is inactive and active. It is the active Purusha who gets entangled into Prakriti. But that comes in the 15th chapter. So one who knows this Purusha and this Prakriti with all its modifications and qualities, that one becomes liberated. One who knows Purusha and Prakriti in all its entirety, it is he. Vartamano api, even though he exists, he does not take birth again. So in short, the whole thing is described here, and now Sri Krishna says, how do you come to realize this knowledge? Parha Purusha, Purusha, Prakriti, attachment, the entire gamut of all our experience, which is described in three lines. Now Sri Krishna says, how does one come to know it? Dhyanena, Atmani, Pashyanti, Kechit, Atmanam, Atmana, Anye, Sankhena, Yogena, Karma Yogena, Chapare. Different people come to learn of this in different ways. Some see it, see the self, Atmani. If you meditate upon the self, Dhyanena, by meditation upon the self, some people see it. Kechit, Atmanam, Atmana. some people realize the self through the self. Anye sankhena, some of them learn through sankhya. Yogena karma yogena chapare, and others see it through karma yoga. Yoga which is karma yoga. These are the different ways by which the Supreme is seen.